That yellow sheet will also tell you about the International Women's Year. I think it started with the UN endorsing it as the Women's Year, and actually it's a 10-year period. But what happened last year was every state was supposed to run a women's conference and then elect delegates for the culmination of it at Houston in May of last year. What happened was that the feminists got hold of the control of everyone that they could, and they had a plan. They came into it, and they had like 20% traditional thinkers. The rest of them were liberals, and they went in to the Houston conference having control of the $5 million, the control of the votes, and then they came up with the conclusions that they wanted to. And you'll look at the back of that. Jerry, would you hold up the... No, Jerry. The Phyllis Schlafly report. The one that's turned over with the lesbian... Yeah, literature. This was the kind of thing that was shown at the Houston conference, convention. And so tied in with the ERA is lesbian rights, abortion, and all of that. And they said, this is what American women want. And that is why the legislators are passing this legislation. It represents a minority, but they have gotten the control. Now, we have the opportunity, because we are in on what they did with the International Women's Year, we can anticipate what they're going to try to do with the International Year of the Child. And that's why we need to have a voice, and that's the plea. And some of this literature you have over here will tell you about it.
Okay, one comment. I talked with a... person in the Congress who was involved in some of the initial legislation, one of our elected people, and he did not intend for it to become this. But because of the vagueness of its wording, we really do not know how it will be interpreted. But very likely, one thing, if, for instance, on ERA, when it goes through, it will likely, from a federal level, Supreme Court level, invalidate all of these elections taking place in Florida and other places that you've heard of, you know, in the gay rights ordinances. And you know that they have failed, I think, in everywhere except in San Francisco, perhaps. And there is one on the books, on the ballot in California this year. There's one in Seattle, not in Washington itself, but just in the city limits of Seattle. They have been passed against homosexuality. Of course, those can all be invalidated now because they can be appealed up to Supreme Court, and Supreme Court can then invalidate those things. So it means that local control of those issues can be removed. I mean, the one person I spoke to says, we don't know that it will. I said, well, it depends on how Congress and the courts do it. In fact, I said it depends on the court's interpretation. He says, yeah, and that's about as unpredictable as how Congress will interpret it. I mean, he was a member thereof. Okay.
Yeah, Jerry, one of our young growing Christian couples, the wife told my wife just the other day, I'm a liver, you know. And so I'm wondering if Helene could speak a little bit to the question of how you go about helping.
Okay, the question is... to ask Helene to speak to the issue of when you have a wife who says, I am a liber, who is a Christian, how you can go about helping, and perhaps you ought to just say what the effect in the marriage will likely be if allowed to continue to its consequences.
I guess I have a question. Is it affecting the marriage?
Yes, I think so. It has for some years.
Okay. What I would probably do if I were counseling a couple, which I try to keep out of, is what in their relationship would cause her to want to be liberated. See, there is some reason why a wife wants that. And it may very well be that the husband is getting in an insecure stance and is becoming increasingly authoritative, thinking he is being biblical.
Wouldn't a good response to that also be, what does she mean by liberty?
Yeah.
This is the lack of information.
That's right. I know. See, that's why I would recommend you buy a couple of these little booklets. They'll cost you 50 cents or a quarter. and have some information on it, but then you would have to take her to the scriptures on each issue. Ask her what she wants to be liberated from. Ask the husband what in their relationship is causing tensions as far as this liberation issue is concerned.
You know, one of the things, Glenn, that so many of the gals seem to get into is just the overwhelming amount of peer pressure that is put upon them by others who, you know, in their basic marriage, they don't have that many problems, but it's almost, the peer pressure is so great, it's from outside, that it's almost as if you're just not sticking up for your rights.
That's right.
And you begin to look to self, you begin to go back to the self thing, and then they come, even have to come up with things, but it makes you feel, chatting with some of the gals, it makes you feel, I can't think of a better word for it, but just stupid, that, you're made to be out ignorant if you're not really asserting for your own rights.
That's
so
right.
One leaves a situation like that, there's a great deal of confusion.
Okay, so then you would deal with the issue of rights biblically. And see, women have been denied some of their rights as persons. And the men that I admire the most today, the Christian men, are the ones who are saying, you know, that's true. Now, how can we help? And it doesn't mean you have to adopt the liberal thinking, but allowing women more and more opportunities for personal development, personal fulfillment. See, they're hearing this by the liberals. Develop yourself. Do your thing. And compete with men. Incidentally, this will be of interest to you, the suicide rate among women going into executive competitive positions has increased since they've gotten into this. They've gotten into the same pressures that you men have. And so somehow we have got to allow in our thinking for it. If you come down hard and say this is unscriptural, you may be wrong. There are some things that we are doing that are unscriptural, and there are some things that we are doing that are scriptural. And we have got to rethink it in the context of what is happening in our country. Why would a woman want to rebel? Problem of being seated next to me when he gave his testimony. And I said, it's obviously a reflection on the fact that the man that was helping him was not concerned that his wife come along with him. And if he was, it was not brought out in the testimony. You see, that's where we have a problem. And you may want to delete this part from the tape.
But I saw it in there.
Yeah, and we need to be very aware of it.
Leave it in, but take
sure.
The name off of who gave the testimony.
Well, I think, I recall back on my first 2 years of marriage, and had the women's lib thing been high then, I think Mary would have, she could have had very good reason to tell me to go hang it on my beak, because I ran the thing like a Prussian general. You know, I was very authoritative, and I was extremely restrictive, and I rarely asked counsel. And that had nothing to do with the navigator. It was just me and my personality, and then I was going to run the show. And my mother said, I'll be sorry for anybody he marries. That's what my mother said.
You've come such a long way.
Yeah. But, you know, it had results in our marriage, and we struggled through, some things then in about the third year. Where we had to resolve. We didn't know any of these terms that are here now, but Mary and I altered certain of my lifestyle and the way I function. It had nothing to do that I wasn't basing it on the Bible. I was just being who I was. And as we started developing our relationship, and I think most anybody who has developed a good marriage will see these things, that, God has given both of us great abilities and a personhood that is codependent. And that doesn't mean egalitarian, but there, and that, with clear relationships, but that it cannot be oppression to the individual. But see, today, a person coming into that with the view of rights, so to speak, and the women's lib feminist issues, will immediately begin the marriage with not even a view that it's a marriage. It's just an act of convenience and so forth, maybe a deal for procreation.
Well, and you can see where the woman's lib says that marriage is instituted for men to control women. See, and when a woman who is unhappy hears that, she says, yeah, that's right. And see, this was all brought on in by the writing of a book called Feminine Mystique about 10 years ago. by Betty Friedan, who is a founder or president, she was, of NOW, which is the National Organization of Women. So you see how all this thing ties in. And Christian women reading that literature said, you know, that's exactly how I feel. The non-Christian said, that's how I feel. Marina Downing said to me one day, how can you keep women from leaving their husbands? I mean, that's the thing I'm facing now. That's in the Christian context.
Yeah. May I make just a follow-up comment? I probably made our thing sound a little more serious. Well, we were ignorant. We were happy as larks. We didn't have any of the marriage books. We didn't have anything to read, you know, back 20 years ago. And so our expectations were totally those that we put on ourselves, and we developed it. But I think it's important to note that we came into it knowing that the Bible had the answer somehow, and as we found things happening between us, we turned to God, and we had a common basis. But see, that basis is being eroded. And especially when you bring someone into Christ at the age 20, largely their view of much of this will have been already established. And in talking with a friend, Dave Simon, up in Denver, medical doctor, and he's adolescent medicine, and I said, what the main problems are? He says, well, two. He says, one is, of course, the pregnancy thing, all the way down to age 12, and stating that young kids were being forced by peer groups into sexual relationships prior to even entering adolescence, to menstruation. Okay, and he just told me of something they're doing. The second issue was the children leaving the home, you know, rebelling against their parents and just deciding to leave. And the attitude, see, this is permissive now. I mean, it's allowed. And the more we allow it, and the philosophy comes in, and we just have to, our Christian home is going to be much more important. Now, Helene asked, do you understand what a nuclear family is? Do you know the word nucleus? Okay, that's what it comes from, the nucleus of an atom. Okay, it says that the nucleus of family, that it is the nucleus of society, and that is where the prime development is taking place. It said, that's wrong. See?
They belong to the government.
Yeah, you belong, well, to somebody else. Okay, a question from, or a comment from Daryl.
Yeah, a comment, a question. You know, in terms of the feminine mystique, you know, the other things that that seems like, Jerry, the thing is really evolved out of is, you know, pretty much what Schaefer, you know, talks about in terms
yes.
of the removal of absolutes and the issues against authority, you know, that we,
right.
we saw in the 60s and into the early 70s, but where every... Well, the wrong application of individuality is coming out too. You know, as a woman is an individual, man, or a person is an individual, and your own rights are the most important thing. So, you know, we're living with the implications of all of that. And, you know, the hardest thing I deal with, and I just wanted your opinion on, the hardest thing I deal with is pretty much what Elaine said earlier, and then you inferred as well, is if you start with the presupposition of man and you remove God from it, it's inevitable that we go where we are. Both in education, but in everything, and which is pretty much what we've done in the 60s, and then got killed in the 60s. So the thing I have the hardest time about is I look at it and say, well, sure, we're where we are, because it's inevitable we're going to be where we are, and its effects. And it's going to be worse in some things, but, you know, as a believer and as an advocate, what I do about it on an individual basis, without being a pessimist, realizing that probably going to be the natural flow of things until the Lord comes back. How do I act? That's what you were saying. What I do? Do I write letters? How much do I get involved? Can we ever stymie that thing around, or do I need to take the position, regardless of where we do that or not, I still have responsibility, and thus I need to fulfill that, regardless of where it goes. And so, you know, some thoughts concerning my day-by-day, you know, of course, yeah. even our thing yesterday, we're not going to take a political view as an organization. But I can take a political view as a believer.
Yeah.
And, you know, do I write against the ERA? Do I stand out and speak against it? You know, there are a lot of that's a broad question, I know.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Do you want me to respond to that first? Okay, first of all, I personally don't view ERA as a political issue. I realize it's being handled in the political arena, but it is a moral issue, and it's not just ERA. It's a whole moral humanist philosophy And because of it being in a political arena, there are occasions where we need to get involved. You know, when it's whether or not we're going to vote for Carter or Ford or whatever, I think that's a political issue or whatever. Personally, I encourage people to be involved to some extent locally, mainly to be first to be informed. Okay, I fully agree that we ought not to take a stand as an organization on political issues. I think that is a dangerous situation. But we ought, so the guidelines, I can just tell you what I think I should do personally. Okay, first of all, I need to be informed, which does mean at least reading some newspapers and getting some information for yourself on some issues. Let's put that on later. Okay, the second thing is there are some issues that I should be involved in primarily on a local level. For instance, I will have no personal hesitation of getting involved in anything relating to the schools that my kids are in. You know, I'll confront it as directly. Of course, I'm a relatively confronted person. It's like when, at the academy when one time we asked for some transportation to a Christian school, and they said, oh, you can't because it's a religious school. And I said, fine. I said, I really am not too particularly too interested in your regulation. Just tell me why you transport the Catholic children. And within one day, and when they were going to do it, I said, fine, we'll retain legal counsel. And within 5 minutes, I had permission. And it's been going on now for 8 years. So I'm very willing, if there's a wrong, to just personally confront it, but I'm not willing to give my life to it. Okay, I will not get emotionally uptight. I just said, fine, we'll do something. But I will not allow myself to get emotionally so it becomes my emotional concern. My emotional concern is the gospel and meeting the needs of people. And Helene knows that whenever there were some women that shared some things up there in Denver, you remember? And I said, well, they were appealing to a group of people more on an emotional instead of an intellectual level. Well, you can do that, but I feel that we ought to be very cautious on this. Okay, the second thing I would do is I feel a personal responsibility to communicate with my own congressmen and senators. And to do so in a wise way. In the sense of I don't do it on organizational stationery. I do it on personal stationery. Although it would be more effective, if I were in a secular outfit, I would probably do it on organizational stationery. Or I would say if I am a member of a school board somewhere, I'd state that. Or if I have a position in a church, I would say, and I'd let them know that I can influence other people. Because they do not listen to individuals, they listen to representatives of segments of the population. So you should write, and you should at some time get to know them. Know your local congressman. He's very easy to get to know because it's a fairly small group.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know what the issues are, or if you don't know how that congressman is going to vote, pick up a phone and call his office and say, are you for the ERA, are you for the extension, or whatever the issue, are you for Kitty's Lib? And if they say, oh, yes, he's going to say, thank you very much. I want you to inform him that I will not vote for him because, as a Christian, or whatever you want to say after that. But you do have the right to find out before you vote. And it doesn't matter if he's a Republican or a Democrat. Find out how he is voting on the issues you are interested in. And it's very simple. Mm-hmm. Express yourself.
It doesn't take any time. Particularly, you don't have to go to Washington, D.C. I just happened to be there, so I saw him there. I can see him in Washington.
Right.
And we ought to just be informed people. We are a professional group of people, and we ought to know some things. Doesn't mean you have to spend a lot of time.
I think it's been a lot of time. Sounds like it.
Yeah. Now, you've got to resist the big organizational thing to some degree, so you could just take all your time. Helene could be drug off into this thing all the time. We turned down, or I helped her, she wanted to, just to turn down being on a TV interview program as a representative. I said, well, no, I don't think that's where we ought to be. And she didn't want to go either. I mean, the point is, let's do what we can. Let's be informed. On occasion, get involved very deeply, especially on a local level. And I think we can do it without ruining our ability to relate and minister to people. Now, there are some like LaHaye and Bright and others who have chosen to go much, much further in this. We simply have not. And I can't be informed on everything, but I can on some. Yeah.
Jerry, who are some of the organizations or groups that are doing the best work on this from our perspective?
Good question.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. Let's see. This is books.
Well, that's all right. They're organizations there, Jerry.
Okay.
It's a combination.
By the way, do you know that LaHaye is getting threats on his life because of this book? Unhappy Gays. But anyhow, I mean, it's regularly. The Phyllis Schlafly Report, is she a Christian?
She's a Catholic law student. She's, in her 40s or 50s.
Okay.
Very well informed.
Yeah, then this other one, The Backgrounder from the Heritage Foundation, is a very good one.
On Schlafly, for $5 a year, she will send you a monthly report of what's going on, and she tells you what to do, and that's really very helpful. Whether you are as far right as she is insignificant. You do get information from her. And she's connected with the Eagle Forum, which is a very conservative group.
Eagle Forum, it's a very conservative. And just be careful, we all have to be careful we don't pigeonhole. See, there are certain things very right-wing, get all involved in gun legislation or something. Well, pick your issues.
Yes, that's it. Events is very highly recommended.
Yeah, it is better. A number of years ago I used to get it. I haven't gotten it recently, and it's right. But that's all right. Just see, you're smart enough to figure out the information.
We have a directory of the 95th Congress up here. If you want to know just the address of who to write to and how to write to them, this will help you.
Yeah. Now, it may not do any good. I don't write letters very frequently. And by the way, I want to say that that congressmen have been very helpful to us. Midge Corson's visa was greatly facilitated by Congressman Bill Armstrong here. And we have some good relations and with congressmen. I think you want to be very careful not to alienate the man. When we met Jackson, he just came out of the passage of, he just came out of a committee. We were in Congress Hall and we met him there, where he had finally gotten a major legislation thing accomplished. And it was a very good one. And so we started off in a very, well, congratulations. Today's a big day for you, isn't it? And went very positive. And man, he was open. He shared freely. Whereas just the previous week, two women had gone in, one being a Mormon, and he'd attacked him. He attacked him. I mean, he was very uptight with them. And I mean, there are people just like us. You know, if someone comes in with a gun raised to your head, you're not going to pay much attention to them. And so, those are just some comments. Now, Noel, are you ready to make a comment or two now? Have I given you a moment to, we'll leave this on so you can.
Just during the.
Can you, do you mind? I don't know how far this will go. Yeah.
I think the challenge to me is what we're trying to do here is get ready to meet these arguments. And to meet the person, realizing where he's coming from, so that we can get the gospel through. Because that's what we had to try to do all the time in Sweden. If you touch their emotional nerve, you've got to fight and you'll never win it, and they'll go away mad. The overall economic, political results in the schools and so forth is just so far advanced there. We're talking now, and I think it's legal in some places, is it not, for single adult adoption?
And
homosexual adoption. All of this is old hat over there. It's not even news. And in the school systems, the total liberality, the absolute, the ultimate promiscuous society. And so it just, it reiterates we've got to be abreast of these things and work on it. Where we're going and the federal funding of all this stuff, they've been doing that for years because they came in with the 1910-20s labor revolution. And along with that came out with God, in with goodness, and with goodness comes all of this. And so that's where they are, and it's just more pictorial there because they've achieved it in all the laws. Tax exemption for a single woman is more advantageous than one that's married, so couples live together without marriage so that they get the tax exemption. They can each get an apartment by law if they aren't married. If they're married, they get one. So they get one, each get one. They put their daughter or their mistress or whatever in the other one, and away they go. So it's just more vivid, that's all.
Stay standing. I want to ask you a couple of questions. Okay. Now, Noel, you come from a background in Scandinavia and Sweden in particular where these things are fully developed, or at least quite fully developed. Now, many of us, we see it and say, oh, it surely couldn't be that bad. From what you've heard shared today, does this, in fact, seem to be the roots, the beginnings at least, of what you see fully developed in Sweden in the sexual and morality areas?
It does, and it shocks me because I've been seeing it was going to happen and was happening. Wasn't aware how much it was happening. But I used to, Jim Downing, I used to talk about, they're ahead of us in one area, degradation. And we could have joked about that. Well, that's true. George Sanchez was over there, and about the home, for example, let me put a thing in here. The effect of it, well, it comes from the old authoritarian, the old European home. Some German fathers, their oldest daughter still washes their feet when they come in from work every day. That's a tradition. And all these types of things, you know, and daughter carries the firewood and all that kind of stuff. Well, pardon?
Two bucket girl,
yeah. Well, then you swing to now and the effect of this on the man. You talk about homosexuality. Our problem in Sweden, we were always trying to define what is a man. Because we were so upset that our Swedish men aren't manly. Well, what is that?
Do you know that on college campuses today in the U.S., they are having courses now on men identifying?
Male identification. Well, I can see it because we began to study that in Scripture. Because the home now is so stated or otherwise, the man is a mushroom. So the women now are leading by default. And of course, in many of our situations, we find it's either a reaction to a lack of leadership or totalitarian leadership. So it's been very revealing to me to catch this trend.
Okay, well, I appreciate that input, Noel, because, you know, we try and predict, and I'm not much of a forecaster of doom. I don't like to live that way. I live an optimistic life. And none of us want to get in the thing of where, oh, life's going apart. If it does, we'll go with it, and we'll witness all the way. But there are things that we still can do in our context. Yes, Helene.
On this education issue, read the books. If your children are in public school, read their books, and you will see what these issues are. And you can fight them through PTA or going to the principal. There have got to be ways in which you as parents can protect your children. Because some of the things that they are covering now, like cannibalism, they had a role play where they had a kid pick up a stone to throw at the parent. I mean, these are some of the things they're experimenting with in the schools, and they are emotional, but the fact is it is affecting the young minds of children, and they're starting very young. The one thing I did want to mention on Weep for Your Children, this book, it shows the signatories, the original signatories of the Humanist Manifesto, and you'll find that they are worldwide. This is not just a U.S. manifesto.
Jerry, yeah, no. Appreciates the comment on this. My children go to a very fine Christian school where they set standards on dress codes and things like hair length. And I'm getting this back from my teenage children now, is they can't understand why that there is such a strict regulation on whether the hair drops a little bit below the ears.
Yeah.
And the question I'm wondering, see, I feel like it's, well, we're trying to teach you obedience to authority, learn the idea of responding to authority. Not that that is a big issue, but they don't see that. They see that as control, and they don't understand the value of it. And my fear is that will overflow into
yes.
other more serious issues, and they'll view it with the same disregard.
That's correct. And I personally have a great reservation on the super discipline type of Christian school, and the flag being almost higher than the Christian flag, the super patriotic thing. I think and I realize that many do it, and I need to be careful. I feel we need a balance. I think you need to share with them what I would do, that, hey, we need to be a little careful. I've been on the board of a Christian school, and I have one child now. I've had four at one time in a Christian school, but I only have one now. I choose them by individual kids, the school that's there on the public, and what that child needs. Ours is in one now that's more strict than the one we're in. But because of our attitude and just working with her, she just does fine. She has to wear dresses all the time now. And if you have a problem with it, I think you should identify, if it's not something you agree with, say, hey, listen, that's just a surface issue. And you may even need to speak to some of the administrators to relax that slightly. But you're right. It can become a problem. And it can become an overreaction. Now, up to about 7 years ago, I would have been opposed to Christian schools. But I changed my stance when I had kids in them. And I watched what was happening very carefully. And we have good ones here in Colorado Springs, by the way, compared to many areas of the country. So I just watch it very carefully. And I work with my child. She just almost was rebellious that she was going to have to wear dresses. But now she's into it, And we just worked with her, and she's just having a ball now, and it's not a big deal. But I have a reservation on going too far in that control area, and I think if you do, you need to express it. Be with your child in it. Support the authority and say, because they're an authority and there are other good things, we want to do it. You know, when I go on my reserve duty, I cut my hair because it's part of the regulation. So, yeah, you were next, Noel.
Can we get the names of all those things?
Oh, yeah, let me just, yeah, sure. It's a newspaper. Human Events is a newspaper. Yes.
On the federal laws you mentioned, just before I left Sweden, it became a federal or parliamentary law, they call it, for a parent to spank or bodily strike his child.
Okay, federal law that a child cannot be spanked.
If we had a guy shake his fist in Bruce Van Wright's face for spanking his kid on the bottom of the run out for a taxi, the taxi cab got out and here to beat Bruce up for spanking his kid.
Okay.
That's the way it's going.
Right. Okay, one more comment and we'll have to close here.
Yeah, you might have time for this. I may need to give one of you, you can give that for if you have some time, but maybe you want to share a few thoughts in the area of basically some things we're referring to. That would be the Old Testament view of women.
The Old Testament view of women.
God's view of women in terms of the Old Testament, in terms of how that evolved out, but one thing we're referring to occasionally is that's God's view of women.
Well, I think I'm not sure it was God's view of women as the Jewish or the Israel's view of women. And then Jesus came, and by his acceptance of women, by his elevation of women, by his protection of women. I've done a study on this, and that is every encounter with a woman, Jesus honors her, he protects her from the nasty comments of men, why is she doing this, what value is it, that kind of question. Here's a woman caught in the act of adultery, they throw the woman in, they don't bring the man in, they bring the woman. This is all a reflection of the culture, and Jesus took a tremendous stand when he honored women and cared for them in the context of that culture, showing God's view. So I don't think it was God's view of the Old Testament one. I think it's cultural view, because he did use many women in the Old Testament.
Well, maybe that in itself would be good to point out that the Old Testament is not a biblical view. It is the cultural view.
Yeah, but you have to be careful then. You're see, oh, man, that's a statement that... Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. You may make it. I just show it through Jesus. That's how I do it.
Yeah, I'd be cautious on that, because you have to, in the Old Testament, you have to discern between what is command and what is history. Is a better way to view it, not just a cultural situation, because see, God used people, women, in very significant things, and of course, a lot of this depends on your particular theological stance. You know, if you're Reformed or if you're dispensational or Brethren or whatever it is, and so it's a little difficult to go and say, okay, this whole view is a unit, just like we have the, you know, we're under grace. Well, there were things we do not sacrifice today. And we also have to recognize that the Bible clearly says that men violated certain things. For instance, polygamy. How do you handle polygamy in the Old Testament? How do you handle David's polygamy? I just, in my reading program, find out he's taken a bunch of extra wives. And that was forbidden. That was forbidden. And then divorce. Jesus says Moses permitted it because of the hardness of their heart. Well, anyhow, those are some things. Be a little cautious as you run through that study. The way we navigators need to be careful on our hermeneutics and some things of that. So let's close it off. Lane, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. So that's good. Well, let's pray. Lord, thanks now for this time, and we ask that you would be honored. Help us to lead balanced, but intelligent, carefully thought through lives in public and in private. God, keep us close to your word. Keep us close to the lost, that we would be able to reach them with the gospel. And at the same time, Lord, knowing where we ought to interact into society and where we ought to have an impact that comes from the depth of our biblical convictions. So thanks now for this time. In Jesus' name,